Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Dynasty Team Preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and I'm joined by Koopa. Koopa, what's going on this week, man? We got the NFC South.
Yeah, NFC South, a division that is mired in a lot of questions, and we're unsure about it. Like so many things where, you know, we've done some other divisions where we're like every single team in this division has a chance to make the playoffs. I think this is one of those cases as well, except for in a bad way.
Yeah, there's a couple interesting teams here. A lot of draft picks, offensive draft picks, that could make an impact for us this year too. So I am excited to go through this division. And today we're going to go with the Atlanta Falcons is going to be our first team up. So obviously they had an interesting draft this year. They were the talk of the draft for a certain reason, which we'll get into. But head coach is now Raheem Morris, who comes over from the Rams. And he brought over offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, who I believe was the quarterback coach for the Rams. So he's kind of from the McVay system. Raheem Morris has been with McVay the last couple of years as well, so I'm assuming that's the kind of system they're going to run. Some of the key players who left them this year, obviously Desmond Ridder was traded, Cordarrelle Patterson left, Jonnu Smith left, and obviously a new coach, Arthur Smith, that whole system has left. So that'll be interesting. Some targets and vacated air yards, 190 targets they're going to be missing, 1,805 yards, which is kind of surprising because I'm trying to think of who the hell had 190 targets and 1,805 yards on this team that left. Mac Hollins is another one, Scotty Miller, but like Van Jefferson, not anybody that like was really significant. So interesting to see it was that much. But anyways, quarterbacks, I'll let you kick it off here with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, usually I talk about the first round quarterback that was drafted on a team, but instead I get to start off with good old Kirk Cousins, who is new to the Atlanta Falcons. Last year he had a PFF grade of 86.1 for 9th of 38 in Minnesota, and he's coming over to Atlanta. He's going to be a big boost to this offense. They've been essentially floundering at the quarterback position for the better part of 2 years now, if not longer. And so just having Kirk Cousins back there, he's done a good job literally everywhere he's been in the NFL. Like once he's gotten the starting jobs and the NFL has really seen him as a starter, he's just been a solid quarterback. Never quite the guy to fully take the team on his shoulders and like allow them to do a big playoff run, kind of like a Patrick Mahomes can just level up the Kansas City Chiefs and just will them to victory. He's not quite at that level, but he can absolutely make any team extremely competitive. So he's their starting quarterback. He is going to start week one. They invested $100 million guaranteed to him, and they have him on a 4-year contract, which then makes the reason that they drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the 108 in this year kind of perplexing. That was by far the surprise of the draft, what Eric was alluding to at the beginning of. Michael Penix Jr. is probably not going to play this year, would be my guess, unless Kirk Cousins looks really bad, which I don't foresee that happening. And the other thing is Kirk Cousins is on essentially a 2-year contract in terms of the amount of guaranteed money that he's owed. So Michael Penix Jr. is maybe going to sit behind him for 2 years, or maybe they just bite the bullet and cut him, kind of like how the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. That's a little unsure exactly how that's going to work. But Michael Penix Jr. Talked by many to be, outside of like the big three, the most pro ready quarterback in this draft. And it just seems kind of perplexing that he's the one that's going to be sitting behind another absolutely amazing quarterback for at least a year, if not two, before he's going to start in the NFL. But he will likely be the backup, and hey, maybe Kirk Cousins, he is coming off of a torn Achilles. Maybe he's not as ready to go at the beginning of the season as we thought or something like that. But realistically, I think it's just Kirk Cousins starting, and he's going to be the quarterback that you want. Penix is the number two backup. And then they have Taylor Heinicke and John Paddock, who's a 2024 UDFA out of Illinois. Taylor Heinicke is one of the top backups in the NFL, in my opinion. So the fact that he's a third quarterback on this team, I think he's kind of wasted there. He definitely should be a backup on some other teams in the NFL, in my opinion. But he's going to end up being the third quarterback here in Atlanta. And I just think that makes it so John Paddock, he has no chance at making the team. They're going to keep three quarterbacks, and they're going to be Cousins, Penix, and Heinicke. And no team is going to keep four quarterbacks on their initial 53-man roster. And so John Paddock is going to be on their practice squad. And realistically, I don't think he has a chance to start any games for this team over the course of the season unless they get a ton of injuries.
Right. Yeah, it's so with Cousins and Heinicke, those guys were all brought in before the draft. So Heinicke actually took a pay cut to stay with the Falcons to essentially probably be the backup to Kirk Cousins, he thought. And then they end up drafting Michael Penix. So I bet you if Heinicke knew that in hindsight, he would have just told him to cut me. I'm not going to be the third quarterback. I'll go back up somewhere. So he kind of got screwed in the process, too. So it is interesting how they're going to roll with these quarterbacks this year. Like you said, they guaranteed money for 2 years here. How are they going to fit Penix in there? If their team is out of the playoffs, does Penix get some starts down the stretch? But we'll see. Quickly, though, on Penix from Dane Brugler. Overall, Penix is inconsistent in several key areas, mechanics, anticipation, pressure reaction, but his arm confidence and willingness to attack every square inch of the field can be a productive formula in the right situation. His mental toughness will be a strong selling point in NFL draft rooms. So last year at Washington, his PFF grade was a 91.1, 364 completions, 556 attempts, 4,906 yards, 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 65.5 completion percentage, which in college isn't that great. It's decent, but not that great. 90.9 in the intermediate game, 93.5 and deep balls, 65.3 under pressure, and a 10.7 A dot, which was tied for 32nd in the nation last year, throwing the ball an average of 10 yards. So that's pretty nice formula there for him. Running backs here for the Falcons, obviously Bijan Robinson, high draft pick last season. His PFF grade last year was only 69.1, which was 38th of 59. But all the rumors that everything that we've had is Raheem Morris is going to feed this guy. So expect a monster season from Bijan Robinson. And if you look at it historically, a lot of running back second year is usually like their most productive season in their career. So I'm expecting a big Bijan Robinson year. Redraft leagues, I'm definitely going to be looking to target him in the first round if I can. Tyler Allgeier last year, he had a really good year. 82.9 PFF grade, 7th of 59 among running backs last year for Tyler Allgeier. So really good year as a backup. Jace McClellan, they brought in as a 6th-rounder from Alabama. Avery Williams, who is coming off a very significant injury from last preseason. Carlos Washington Jr., a UDFA from last year, and Robert Burns as well. So they kept three running backs and a fullback last year on their initial 53. Before we turn it over to Koopa here, I just want to go over Jace McClellan really quick. Overall, McClellan lacks a true distinguishing trait to separate him in this running back class, but he has functional size, quickness, and contact balance to be a quality backfield option if given the chance. His development as a receiver and a blocker might be the difference in whether or not he can claim a permanent NFL role. His PFF grade at Bama was a 79.8, 181 carries, 888 yards, 8 touchdowns, 14 catches on 17 targets for 139 yards, 76 in a zone grade scheme, 83 in a gap, his grade for a gap grade scheme. 49 missed tackles forced, tied for 51st in the country. If I had to pick the three running backs that they're probably going to keep, it's probably going to be Brian Robinson, Allgeier, McClellan. And I wouldn't be surprised if an Avery Williams or a Carlos Washington Jr. also make the team kind of as a special teams player. Carlos Washington Jr. was a guy I liked in the preseason last year. It was between him and Godwin Igbuke. Igbuke did a little bit better, but Washington did show some flashes last year when I saw him play. What did you think about the running back situation here?
Yeah, so obviously Bijan Robinson, he's the running back three overall for this upcoming season. And so as you said, he's expected to get fed. And Tyler Allgeier is going to take a little bit more of a back seat. So if you look at that, even right now, Tyler Allgeier is still being marked as the running back 44. I don't think he's totally irrelevant, and especially as a handcuff to Bijan Robinson. If they feed Bijan Robinson a ton, they might be looking to either spell him a little later on in the season in order to keep him healthy for a potential playoff run, or even he has a better chance of just having a freak injury, and then Tyler Allgeier takes over that heavy running back role that. If they have the offense designed around running the ball a bunch, Tyler Allgeier would be able to take those carries, and he's shown in the past that he can handle that workload for a short amount of time. As for the running back three, so Avery Williams, Eric kind of brought it up of that he had a nasty injury. He basically tore his ACL and I think a couple other ligaments in like August of last year. But because it was at the very beginning of preseason, that means that he should be good to go for this entire like training camp lead up to the season of this year. And he is basically a kick returner, punt returner who has done a really good job all of his years in the NFL to the point that he initially came in, I think, as a cornerback, and then he's transitioned over to running back just because they wanted to keep him on the team and he wasn't good enough at a cornerback. So they were like, all right, we'll just train you as a running back. We can make anybody a running back if we need to, sort of thing. And so that's so he's listed on the running back roster, but I would. If there was an ability to set somebody's position to just be special teams returner and not even have a normal offensive or defensive position, Avery Williams would 100% be that kind of player. So I'm not even like he's going to count as a running back, and if you have fantasy leagues with kick return yards and punt return yards, he's going to count as a running back for you. But in looking at the roster of whether the Falcons count him as a running back or not, I don't think they do. So I think they're looking at Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, and they're picking one of Jace McClellan or Carlos Washington Jr. to make the roster. I think Jace McClellan probably has the edge. I mean, you just think about the fact that they drafted him in the sixth round and Carlos Washington Jr. didn't get drafted. But I also don't Jace McClellan at this point last year was being talked about as a potential second or third round pick, and he didn't really look that great last year. And so he kind of fell all the way back to the sixth round. I wouldn't be surprised to see that Carlos Washington Jr. ends up making the roster over him, but I also think that it is more than likely that Jace McClellan ends up making the roster. But I think it comes down to one of those two guys makes the roster, or the other would likely go onto the practice squad or get cut.
Now, taking a look at the team's wide receivers, Drake London obviously is the stud there. PFF grade last year of 78.9, which was 23rd of 128. They brought over Darnell Mooney from the Bears. His PFF grade last year was not very good, 55.2, coming off of an ACL tear, 107 of 128. I expect that to definitely go up this year. I think Mooney would be a really good fit for this offense. Rondale Moore, they also traded for in the Desmond Ridder trade. PFF grade last year of 53.6, 112 of 128. I kind of like Rondale Moore in this offense. I think he could kind of be like their Tutu Atwell, but maybe a little bit better. So I'm excited to see what Rondale Moore can do in this offense a little bit. Casey Washington, a 2024 sixth rounder, he's been definitely getting some buzz. Drake London actually talked him up the other day at camp. Sounds like Casey Washington has been running with the first and second team at camp, working with Cousins and Penix. So it looks like Casey Washington definitely going to have a spot on this team. Kadarius Hodge, 79 at 128 with a 62.4 grade last year. He played quite a bit. Ray Ray McCloud, they brought over from the 49ers. They also have Chris Blair, Josh Ali, Lee, Dylan Drummond, Austin Mack, Daylon Baldwin, Isaiah Wooden, a UDFA from South Utah, and OJ Hilaire, a UDFA from Bowling Green this year. So they only kept five on this initial 53-man roster last year. I think this year, London, Mooney, Rondale Moore, Casey Washington, and probably Hodge are going to be your five. But I think Ray-Ray McLeod, since they signed him, is probably going to make it too, especially as a special teams guy slash, you know, utility wide receiver. So I think those six are probably what's going to make it for this team this year. Quickly on Casey Washington. Overall, Washington is a sleek, speedy athlete with secure hands to be a possession target, but he struggles to create consistent separation and needs to prove himself on special teams. He had a 71.4 grade at Illinois last year, 49 catches on 76 targets, 670 yards, and 4 touchdowns. 443 pass snaps he played on, 21 were only in the slot, 422 outside, so he is definitely an outside receiver. 72.1 versus man coverage, which is decent. He had 2 drops, 4.9 was his yards after catch, and a 10.1 A dot on his balls, 4 for 165 on deep balls last year. So not a great deep threat target, but like they said, kind of a possession target. What are your thoughts here on the wide receivers, Koopa?
Yeah, so Drake London, I mean, we've seen the past couple of years that he has struggled to really hit his full potential. The hope is that with Kirk Cousins, he does in fact hit that this year, and so he is able to be wide receiver 2 into that wide receiver 1 range. Right now, he's still only being projected as wide receiver 18, so it seems like we're tempering expectations on him a little bit. But somebody that I think is probably criminally underrated is Darnell Mooney. So right now, Darnell Mooney is ranked as a wide receiver 69. And from everything that I've seen and Kirk Cousins' history, he's been able to support multiple wide receivers. And so we saw that in Minnesota that even like a guy like Jordan Addison, he was still a solid wide receiver for you last year. And that was with TJ Hockenson eating up a ton of targets, which is going to be a similar thing that we have here. Spoiler alert, Kyle Pitts at the tight end position. And Darnell Mooney is the wide receiver that when Kirk Cousins, he was doing like practice throwing drills and inviting a small section of the wide receivers. It was Drake London and Darnell Mooney going with him. And so I think they're expecting Darnell Mooney to be their number 2 wide receiver in this offense. And so he should be treated as such, with the fact that I think that this offense is still going to have a good passing attack with Kirk Cousins back there. And he has the ability to throw it a ton of times per game. We saw that in Minnesota. I think that the fact that he is the quarterback here allows them to play a little bit more heavily into the passing game. And especially when you start talking about where did Raheem Morris come from? He came from LA where you had Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford's that same kind of quarterback that has shown that you can have him just throw the ball a ton of times a game and he can do well. I think Kirk Cousins kind of fits that mold, and it makes sense why they signed him this offseason. So I would not be surprised to see that a guy like Darnell Mooney is going to vastly exceed expectation.
Okay, I can get with that. Tight ends here for them. They have Kyle Pitts, obviously. His PFF grade last year was 68.1, 22nd of 72. Hopefully his second year away from this knee injury, he can kind of have a full off season to prepare and get better and healthier. So I'm excited to see Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins too, an actual quarterback, because he's been stuck with Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota his whole career. I definitely think this is going to be Kyle Pitts' biggest year, and that's coming from a guy who had 1,000 yards as a rookie coming into the league here. So Charlie Warner is his backup, John Fitzpatrick, Ross Dwelly, and Austin Stogner, a UDFA from Oklahoma, is their tight ends. They kept 4 tight ends last year. That was a Arthur Smith offense. I think it's probably only going to be 3 this year. Probably Pitts, Warner, and then it's going to probably be a battle between Fitzpatrick and Dwelly. Dwelly's been in the league for multiple years with the 49ers, so was Charlie Warner. Those guys kind of come from that Kyle Shanahan tree, so I'm going to guess it's going to be Pitts, Warner, and Dwelly are going to be the tight ends here for the Falcons. What do you think, Koopa?
Yeah, and Pitts is is so right now he's tight end six. I think he has the potential to be the overall tight end one this year, which is a difficult thing to expect. Like when you're talking about like, oh, he's the tight end six, like he has that potential in him. I think he's just only down there at tight end six because he has not fully put it together. And I think the biggest problem has just been he has not had a quarterback behind him. So if you look at Kirk Cousins' history, especially in Minnesota, he has fed the tight end position a lot. Even before he got TJ Hockenson there, if you remember the days of Tyler Conklin, like Tyler Conklin was getting fed a lot by Kirk Cousins. He was an absolutely solid tight end, and Kyle Pitts is miles better than Tyler Conklin is. So I would expect that if you believe that Kyle Pitts does have all the tools to put it together, that he could very easily be the tight end one this coming season. And then everyone else is mostly irrelevant from a fantasy point of view. Charlie Werner, and then I personally think it's going to be Ross Dwelly would be the third tight end, but I also would not be surprised to see John Fitzpatrick or even Austin Stogner, or however you say his last name, be that third tight end on this roster. I don't think any of those guys are special over one another. It's probably whoever impresses the coaching staff the most, probably in practice, training camp, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzpatrick has kind of just been a blocker his whole career. That's what he kind of was at Georgia, too. So I would probably lean Werner and Dwelly just because it's the kind of same system that Shanahan and the McVay tree kind of run. So on to the offensive line. Last year, they were fourth in the league, which is kind of surprising, you know, for a team that wasn't, you know, really that great last year. But they were fourth in offensive line play. Just imagine if they can play fourth and have a good quarterback behind them throwing the ball instead of Desmond Ridder. So should be interesting here. Offensive line left tackle is Jake Matthews. His PFF grade last year was only 71.2, which was 30th of 81. I would assume he's going to improve this year. His backup is Tyler Vrabel. Left guard is Matthew Bergeron, a second-round pick from last year. His PFF grade last year was 59.1, which was 40th of 79. I would expect in his second year he gets a little bit better. Javon Gwynn, a 2023 seventh-rounder, is his backup. Drew Dahlman is the center. His PFF grade last year was 82.3, which is third of 36 of all centers. So really good center here. Ryan Neuzil is his backup. Chris Lindstrom, the best guard in the league last year. His PFF grade last year was 87.6, which was first of 79. Kyle Hinton was his backup. And right tackle is Caleb McGarry. PFF grade last year is 75.5, 20th of 81. And Storm Norton is his backup. So overall, really solid offensive line here. And if this team is going to want to run the ball quite a bit and let Kirk Cousins do some play actions, I think this offensive line should be really good for them. Kick returners, punt returners are pretty easy. Go ahead with this, Koopa.
Yeah, so Avery Williams has done it in the past for the Atlanta Falcons, and it's just he didn't do it last year. You didn't see anything about him because he tore his ACL at the beginning of August. So I actually had him rostered on a bunch of teams, and he tore that ACL, and he was an immediate cut, and I've picked him back up this offseason. And then they signed Ray-Ray McCloud from the 49ers. He was the kick returner and punt returner on the 49ers. So they essentially have two kick returners and two punt returners. And so it's going to be probably a camp battle between them for those roles. And I could also potentially see it being that, hey, maybe they end up having both of them back there on kick returns. They swap punt return duties here and there. We've seen it in the past that some teams, they like to use different punt returners in different situations. Maybe it's one of those. It could be one of those scenarios. But we just essentially have to right now look at both of them could be the kick returner or punt returner, but neither of them is a lock to have the job.
All right, so our final thoughts here on the Falcons. I mean, I expect Bijan to have a top three fantasy season from the running back spots. Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, I expect those guys to have really good seasons. I think this could be Drake London's best season by far. I'm kind of hoping for 100 catches. Hopefully he gets close to that. But that's a guy I've been nailing there at the second round. Drake London, if he's there, I'm taking him. Kyle Pitts, I really expect him to have his best year too. And that's coming from a guy who had a 1,000-yard rookie season, like I mentioned before. So I'm expecting those guys to do really good. I am curious about Rondale Moore too in this offense. Kind of if he plays a Tutu Atwell type of role, deep shots to him. He's going to be used in reverses and probably the run game a little bit too. So I think there's a little bit of value there for Rondale Moore, who hasn't had much in his career. How about you, Kupa?
Yeah, I think Rondale Moore is probably a best ball kind of player for the Falcons. Like I'm not going to invest in him in any lineup leagues. I think I've gotten rid of him in all of my lineup leagues that I have him. And but Darnell Mooney is somebody that, like, you talk about that wide receiver threshold, like he makes it for me. Even though right now he's ranked as wide receiver 69, he's somebody that in my mind has the potential to be in that top 50 wide receivers. That Bijan Robinson, obviously top running back, and I'm curious how that ends up playing out with the split between run versus pass with Kirk Cousins. So right now Kirk Cousins is quarterback 18. That would be down from the past couple of years where he's finished as a back end quarterback one. I think that's just because you're not expecting him to throw as many passes as he was in Minnesota because he has such a strong running back in Bijan Robinson. But that could potentially open up, as you said, that passing game where if the defense bites on all these play action plays because you got to be able to stop Bijan Robinson, then that will open up, especially over the middle, a lot of things for Kyle Pitts, and he could absolutely have a monster year.
All right, that is going to wrap it up here for the Atlanta Falcons on this one. We'll be back with you next with the Carolina Panthers.